Okay. Hello, good morning, and welcome to our first quarter 2021 earnings result presentation. I'm Daniel Lozano, Chief Investor Relations Officer. I'm here with David Ruiz, CEO and Chairman of Grenergy, and Maria Rodríguez Gismero, our Sustainability Director. At the end of the presentation, there will be the classical Q&A session for sell-side analysts. I will let you know at the end how you can ask your question. Now I'll hand you over to David.
Thank you, Daniel, and good morning, everyone. Many thanks once again for attending our presentation for the first quarter of 2021. As Daniel mentioned, we have structured the call to allow for a Q&A session after the presentation, which we expect will take no more than 30 minutes of your time. And the presentation, as well as the full report, have been uploaded this morning both to the CNMV's site and on our web. We would like to mention that even though we are no longer bound by any obligation of reporting on a quarterly basis, it's our policy to continue submitting the accounts every 3 months. However, we always recommend using at least half-year results as a guidance, as the variations between quarters may be substantial, especially when we are looking at revenues from our build-to-sell part of the business. I'm going to start looking at the highlights of the period, and after that, Daniel Lozano, our head of capital markets, will be presenting the financial results in more detail. And then I will then pop in again to walk you through the status of our pipeline, and followed by Maria, our sustainability director, who will provide an update on the progress of our ESG Action Plan 2021 and present our Sustainability Report 2020, which has also been published this morning. So let's get started with the key highlights of the quarter in page two. So regarding our financial performance, it's quite important to highlight the success of the share capital increase launched in March. That has allowed us to secure capital needs until 2023. This has been one of the most important milestones in the history of the company, and the ability to attract 105 million euros investment has helped us to reduce notably our risk profile and to improve our leverage, bringing down our net debt EBITDA to 3.1 times. We are now fully funded and concentrated in executing, and even with the possibility of accelerating our business plan if we find attractive opportunities in the market. I really would like to congratulate all our team of banks and advisors on this deal, seeing all this was made at the end of March, already in a difficult environment in the markets for renewal stocks. A second very important highlight of this quarter are the results of our build-to-own division, as the first plants were commissioned at the end of 2020, and we already start to observe this quarter the positive impact and the contribution of energy sales to the revenue and to the EBITDA. Just 3.1 million might not seem much, but this is coming from scratch last quarter, from zero last quarter. And this effect will be building up in the coming quarters, transforming our profile to the point that as early as next year in 2022, we will be generating more EBITDA from energy sales than from the derotation of assets. We achieved an EBITDA of 1.8 million and a net profit of 0.4 million during this period. This is slightly better than we had initially expected for this quarter, coming mainly from energy sales. There were no farm downs this quarter, but we expect some deals in the next quarters, which we already have under negotiation, and we fully reiterate our target of between 100 and 200 megawatts for the full year. Going to pipeline and operations, progress regarding our pipeline remains fully as planned, and I believe we can even say things are running slightly better than expected in some markets like Colombia, where we are about to announce our second PPA for our build-to-own division very soon. And concerning the first PPA for 72 megawatts, our plans are already under construction. Focusing on the figures, the total pipeline has increased slightly when compared with previous quarter to 6.1. I'll give you more details later. We have 198 megawatts in operations, two plants already showing revenues in Q1. This is Quillagua in Chile and Duna Huambos, our first wind projects connected in Peru. Costa in Argentina will start showing revenues from April, and San Miguel de Allende in Mexico from May after the ramp up is concluded. We are really on track for our 2021 delivery. It's 470 megawatts under construction in our three major markets, Spain, Chile, and Colombia. And everything as expected, and really confident on our 500 megawatts build-to-own target for this year. Going to the backlog, it has increased to 448 megawatts, reaching the figure of 1 gigawatt if we consider operational plants under construction and backlog. Many of these backlog plants already giving visibility on our build-to-own targets of 800 megawatts for 2022, which we fully reiterate, and which, as you know, will also come from our main three markets, Spain, Chile, and Colombia. And more importantly, we have 2.9 gigawatts in advanced development. Many of these will get into backlog quite soon, and it gives a lot of visibility on our targets for 2022 and 2023. Concerning ESG, Maria will present the progress achieved in relation to our ESG Action Plan 2021. As you know, this plan is part of our ESG Roadmap 2023, an ambitious three-year plan to improve and excel in sustainability. She will also present the sustainability report 2020 that the team has been working hard over the last few months to prepare. I really would encourage you to download it from a website, as I believe really reflects in many ways the effort that Grenergy as a team has made in 2020 to put sustainability at the center of our business. As Maria will explain, this report also includes the results of our carbon footprint calculations, as well as the reduction targets that we set for our own carbon emissions. So thanks, and I give the floor to Daniel for the financials.
Thank you, David. So it's let's go to slide five. As you can see at slide five, we can see that in Q1 21, total revenue reached 18.7 million euros. The development and construction division has decreased its sale volume by 54% compared to the same period last year, due to the fact that there has not been sales of plant to third parties in this first quarter of the year. This is a temporary effect that will be offset during the year as the company maintains a range of between 100 and 200 megawatt of build-to-set project for the period. The energy division obtained sales of 3.1 million euros for first time, mainly produced by its Quillagua solar plant in Chile and to a lesser extent by Duna Huambos wind farm. The service division has increased its income by 27% year on year, mainly due to the connection and delivery of new solar PV plant in Chile, for which the company will always provide operation and maintenance and asset management services. Let's go to the next slide, which is number six, which explains the EBITDA for a period. In Q1, the EBITDA reached 1.8 million euros against 5.6 million in Q1 2020. EBITDA margin over third-party sales reached 17.8% in the period. This quarter, it has been supported mainly by the energy division EBITDA generation. The EBITDA margin, that is just considering EBITDA coming from third-party sales, have been positively affected, as I said, by the energy division sale margin that was 88% within the period. Regarding DNC margin during this quarter, we have invoiced mainly EPC milestones. So as I have already explained in previous conference, those invoices has lower margins. So next quarter, when new build-to-sell deals are executed, margins will increase to around 30%. Now, if we can look at slide 7. Okay, so you will see how Grenergy invested 33 million euros in Q1 2021, mainly in the project that we want to keep in our own portfolio. Those are the solar PV plan, Escuderos, in Spain, 11.2 million euros, Quillagua project in Chile, 3.6 million euros, and both wind project, Duna Huambos in Peru, 10.5, and Costen, 7 million euros. There has been, as well, some development capex, representing 4.4 million euros in total within the period. Moving on to slide 8, you can see how our cash balance position at group level positively evolved in Q1 2021. From a starting cash balance position of 20.6, it has been affected by a positive EBITDA of 1.8, change in operating working capital of minus 0.8, and other taxes and finance cash out 1.3 million euros. Then we have the growth capex, already explained, 33.5 million euros. Well, to arrive to the final position, the key has been the share capital increase, 105 million euros, and then some project debt and other bank borrowing to get to the final balance position of 110 million euros. Let's look at slide number 9. Well, just to mention that our overall leverage has decreased to 3.1 times net debt EBITDA due to the share capital increase mainly. Considering the EBITDA for the last 12 months. If we consider consensus EBITDA for 2021, leverage should be below 2 times. Finally, moving on to slide 10, we would like to remark the important share capital increase that we did in early March by accelerated book offer. This is the largest equity offering by a Spanish listed renewable company in 2021 year to date. This operation, as you know, was coordinated by Barclays, JB Capital, Odo, and RBC as co-global coordinator. This operation could attract approximately 50 new investors with strong international demand and more than 60% of long-only accounts. The operation has secured the financing needs of the equity of the project that we will connect in the short and medium term, as well as being able to obtain the resources to accelerate pipeline growth and our international expansion. This is allowing the company to strengthen the organization, the organizational structure in order to meet the objective of the business plan. Now I'm going to hand you back again to David.
Thank you, Daniel. And As always, we start this section. We are now moving to page 12, slide 12, the pipeline update. And we start this section of the presentation with this slide, where we have full visibility of the situation of our pipeline. As I mentioned earlier on, no big additions this quarter from 6 gigawatts to 6.1. But our pipeline gains a lot in value. And from bottom to top, we can see how we remain with 200 megawatts in operation, 417 under construction. This is 120 more versus last quarter. And 448 megawatts backlog, and this is 95 megawatts more compared to last quarter. Again, all these three categories is a total of more than 1 gigawatt, including the three. We remain with 2.8 gigawatts, nearly 2.9 in advanced development, and 2.3 gigawatts in early stage. We have increased a lot our category of identified opportunities, which, as you know, is something we don't make public, but we expect to increase our early stage category considerably in our next update in Q2, both in Europe and in Latin America. Moving to page 13, just a quick look at this slide. We update every quarter, no big changes in Italy and UK, where we have more than 600 megawatts in both countries in early stage. But we expect to increase these numbers considerably quite soon, and we might also include some new market in the region, in Europe. Pages 14 and 15, we give the split of all projects in advanced development and in every category. We can go back in the Q&A if you have any questions about these two slides. And page 16, this is a focus on our targets for 2021. A look at our main markets for these 2 years. As you know, from 2023, we are also considering to diversify and connect and commission some plants in other markets. But 2021, 2023, 2022 will mainly come from Spain, Chile, and Colombia. In Spain and Colombia, we are 100% on our targets already under construction for this year. In Chile, we have 145. We are short of around 19 megawatts, which we expect to launch construction also soon. We are already working on quite a new large project financing of PMGDs in this market, thinking in 2022. I mentioned earlier on in the presentation, Colombia is a good surprise. We have already 72 megawatts under construction, and we are very soon announcing a new PPA of a similar size, and we could start construction of those plants quite soon too. And moving to page 17, it's really a hot topic right now, and we believe it's very interesting to have a quick look and share with you all the information about how the CapEx of a PV plant is right now evolving, and where it was last year, and our expectations, and obviously we don't have a crystal ball, but our expectations for 2022. We are quite used to CapEx reductions year after year in this industry. We always like to remind that total CapEx costs were at more than 7 million euros for a plant with tracking system only 12, 13 years ago when we started. And we're quite used to reductions, but what we are seeing in 2021 is an increase in some of the main components. If we look at the numbers in this slide on the left, you can see the case of large plant in Spain like Escuderos, which has been built right now and in 2021, but all contracts were closed at the end of 2020. The second table here, right, it shows the case for a plant like Belinchón, that is a plant that we are about to start construction in the second semester in Spain, so it will be affected by these new costs. And finally, we are giving our estimates for 2022. In general, right now, the cost of a plant in Spain will be, this is just for the EPC, will be around 10% higher than last year. And this could go up to plus 15% higher in countries like Chile or Colombia, where everything needs to get shipped from China or Europe. And these logistics costs will be slightly higher than what we are showing. If we focus on modules, it's really a supply and demand market. We have a very interesting information here concerning capacities. And if you look at the capacities is moving, many big announcements have been made by all the five, six big majors companies. And we are moving from 150 to 250. But just look at the demand is very strong in 2021. Is some estimates are considering 140, 150. But we are still considering the manufacturing capacities of 2020. And this is what is causing somehow this situation of over demand. But if you look at the plan of all the major manufacturers, we are expecting around 250, 245, 250 run rate capacity at the end of 2021. And this is exceeding the expected demand for next year, which is around 160. Some estimates go as high as 180. But we are expecting an over supply situation sometime next year. There is also an ambitious roadmap in efficiency gains, which is another big driver in the industry in terms of cost reduction. So, okay, we are reflecting here in euro terms, 0.18 for next year. This is 0.22 in dollar terms. It might be conservative. I mean, and my belief is that the prices can even go farther down along the year, right? And this is our expectation. Also consider that, the exchange rate has held in euro terms, right? Because now we're procuring panels around 0.24, 25, but the exchange rate is 1.21. So in euro terms, the increase has not been that dramatic this year. Other components, it's very interesting to look at trackers. This is what we're showing here is the price, including the installation of trackers. And these components are very affected by the evolution of the steel prices. And that's the reason that some manufacturers are increasing their costs for this year. We might expect the situation back to normal sometime next year. This inflation is also affecting other industries like the car making industry and many other industries. We believe that the situation will go back to pre-COVID levels in 2022. Inverters are going no big changes here. We work, as you know, and it's public with the major Spanish suppliers, Ingeteam and Power Electronics. And we have framework agreements with them. Both are excellent companies. And we will partner with them very soon in storage also. And they are keeping this roadmap of reductions from 2022. And logistics, it's really a hot topic now. The cost of a container coming from China to Spain has increased from around level of even 1,500, 2,000 euros per 40-foot container to maybe 8,000, 9,000. So this is a dramatic increase. You have to consider that for every megawatt, we need about three containers to transport the goods from origin, from China to Spain or Latin America. So it's really an increase. And this is why we are, if you look at the impact per megawatt, we are increasing from $9,000 per megawatt up to even 30,000 euros per megawatt right now. This is in dollars, about 35, even between 35 and 40. And this is really a dramatic increase. We believe that this situation will somehow relax at one point. It's completely unsustainable right now. But maybe next year, we don't expect that this cost will be back to previous pre-COVID. So we have to live somehow with higher costs of transportation, obviously not as high as now, but next year. It's a very interesting topic again, and I'm very glad to give more comments in the Q&A session. So thank you very much. I give the floor to Maria on ESG.
Thank you. Thank you very much, David. So if you remember, at the beginning of the year, we presented our ESG action plan. So, you know, a very clear path of what is it that we want to achieve this year, sustainability. And we also committed to report on the progress of this plan at this quarterly presentation. So at this slide that you're looking at now, you can see the full plan for the year, and the targets that we plan for the first quarter are highlighted. So just very quickly, we'll review our board of directors approved the creation of the sustainability committee, as well as the internal norms that govern this committee, and also approved two important policies, one about the human rights and the other one about prevention of workplace and sexual harassment. And as David mentioned today, we publish our sustainability report 2020. And in that report, you can also find a full section about, you know, our contribution to the SDGs, which was another of our targets to do that measurement. As you know, in February, we obtained our first ESG rating from Sustainalytics, being ranked as fifth in the industry at a global scale. And we also have measured our carbon footprint and disclosed reduction targets, as we will see in the next slide. And finally, we joined the United Nations Global Compact. So with this work, we are on track on our ESG action plan for the first quarter. So this year, as I was saying, we expanded the sources of emissions for the calculation of our carbon footprint compared to last year. And we also obtained independent verification to ensure that we fully comply with the GHG protocol international standard. We also set for the first time reduction targets aimed at reducing the intensity of our scope 1 and scope 2 emissions by 55% by 2030 and to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. And to achieve these reductions, our strategy is going to consider various initiatives such as the use of renewable sources for own consumption or energy efficiency opportunities, and also analyzing our options to use more electric or hybrid vehicles. And then finally, very glad to present our sustainability report 2020. You can see here some of the key figures, such as the growth we experienced in the year, 36%, or the jobs we created for construction of our projects, 1,300, support provided to our local communities in various countries, such as our Costen scholarship in Argentina, or would support young people on their studies in renewable energy. Also our electrification commitment with the people of Quillagua, but there are many others that reflect really our work in sustainability throughout the year. And I will encourage you to download the report from our website and have a look. And that's all on my side, Daniel.
Thank you, Maria. Now we are moving to the Q&A session. If you have any question, please send a direct message to the administrator using the chat available. Just let him know that you want to ask a question. You don't have to write the content of it. Thank you. So I think we have Fernando García from RBC. Fernando, I can hear you.
Hi, Daniel. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Great. So in terms of CapEx, no? So David, and first, thank you for taking my questions. No, on CapEx, you mentioned, David, that it increased by 10% versus last year, but power prices, they are increasing as well. No, and then at least you have exposure to market prices maybe for 20-30% of your output apart from your PPA. So do you think that you can offset that negative impact in CapEx in order to get similar returns than before? That is my first question. On second question, similar pipeline to what we have at the end of 2020. There was an increase of 1.5 gigawatt in the last year. So then maybe you can provide some light on what areas are you working. If we can expect similar growth in terms of pipeline at the end of the 2021 versus 2020, no? And then you mentioned as well that in terms of installations of you commented 100-200 megawatts in of fund downs for this year. Can you provide as well installations for the energy business for this year? What are your expectations there? And then, if I may, what are your expectations beyond 2023, taking into account the what is your current level of pipeline, what you expect, etc.? No, we can think that 1 gigawatt per year is the rate that we can expect, or that could be increased, and what could be the drivers there? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very, very much, Fernando. Just give me one second. Okay, going to the first question about CapEx. We were showing 10% increase in Europe this year compared to last year in euro terms. If you talk about US dollar terms in Latin America, this might be higher, maybe 15% increase compared to last year. And it really affects, we have quite a flexible approach concerning the PPAs and the policy. And it's absolutely true what you say. I mean, It's hard to. I give you an example of Spain. It's we have very advanced negotiations for the PPAs for our advanced development projects in the country. It's quite hard to change the terms of the price, and this applies to some of those prices were agreed Even before the auction in Spain, and considering the price of the auctions, you know, the off-takers, they also try to move down the prices. We try not to make any changes. Now we have a higher capex. Okay, we are trying to keep it's quite hard to change the conditions. It's a possibility, obviously, if we believe that the capex will remain permanently higher than last year. And this is not what we believe. We believe, as stated, that CapEx will go down. We will obviously try to increase the price of PPAs. But what we do, and we have more flexibility there, is to increase the exposure to merchant. And I think in markets like Spain, where we were targeting 80-85% of the energy of the P50 contracted, I think it's wise and it's the right strategy to reduce slightly to maybe 60-70% because there is a very good upside in merchant, particularly for the first 4 or 5 years, and there's a futures market, so we have more flexibility with the off-takers there. So and this is what we are now working on. And the same situation applies to Chile, where merchant prices now are higher than expected. And in our negotiations for PPAs for next year, we are considering maybe contracting 60% of 60 maximum percent of the production. Going to the second to your second question, yes, we are working very hard in every market where we are to increase our pipeline. We want to make sure we increase pipeline in those markets where it really makes sense. And but at the end of 2021, as we did last year, we might expect quite a large increase in our early stage projects. I can tell you that we are working in some very interesting pipeline of wind projects and in countries like Chile and particularly in Peru, where the situation of the market is changing for the good because prices of merchant are going to go up quite rapidly from July. And there's a PPA market coming up, and there's a huge demand for wind pipeline. So we will increase the pipeline there. We really believe in there's a great potential for solar in Colombia. So we will see some increases there. We're quite happy with the pipeline we have in Chile. We will make some minor adjustments, as we mentioned, maybe more wind, but we're quite happy with solar. But definitely the increases will come from Europe, right? We are looking at more opportunities in Spain, where from 1st of July, we will be able to submit new applications for the grid. And we have several projects. We are also looking at wind projects in Spain, but our focus is still more in solar. And in the rest of Europe, we'll definitely we'll see some big increases in countries like UK, Italy, and we're looking at the opportunities in other markets. And looking at your third question, I think was more looking at beyond 2023, because so far our guidance and our targets is 1 gigawatt for 2023. We're very comfortable with this target. We will do everything in our hand to accelerate our business plan. And now we are fully funded, so we have more possibilities. And from 2023, we will definitely try to keep at least this 1 gigawatt. Hopefully we can increase these targets from 2024. But this is something that we will announce, I think, in November, as we do every year. We will disclose our targets for 2024. Not sure if I replied all your questions, Fernando. I'm glad to give more comments.
Thank you, Fernando. Okay, I think he's having some problem with the microphone. Okay, we go to the next analyst is Jose Ruiz from Barclays. No. Sorry, is George Guimaraes from JB Capital? George?
Hi. Nope. Good morning, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. Firstly, regarding first of all, many thanks for the analysis on CapEx costs. I believe it's very useful. This is the key topic of the sector currently. And from your forecast, what could go wrong? I mean, you expect CapEx costs to normalize next year. Where do you see the greatest risk for your estimate? This would be the first one. The second one is, and a follow-up to what Fernando was asking, or a related topic, actually. Do you see any difference between the... You said that it is hard for off-takers to accept changes in PPAs being negotiated. Do you see any difference between Spain and Chile, given the huge capacity coming to the market in Spain? This would be the second one. And the third one is also related to this. Do you expect any players that went to the auction not to install their capacity due to CapEx, and that resulting into opportunities to buy projects in the market? This would be my three questions. Many thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jorge. And Fernando, you were having some problems with your microphone. If you had any other clarifications to your previous questions, please send us a message through the chat, and I'm more than glad to reply. (Clears throat) Well, about the trendy topic, about the hot topic of CapEx, Jorge, and that's why we decided to include this slide on this year's presentation. What could happen? Well, obviously, as I mentioned, we really don't have the crystal ball, and it's quite hard to know. Considering, I think there are two big things now. One are modules, and the other one is logistics cost, right? Because logistics cost in countries like Spain, it really affects the cost of modules. It was something really marginal before, and now it's becoming really an important part of CapEx. Concerning the modules, what could happen? Well, we have given, I'm back to this slide, we have given our estimation, and the estimation of the market is around the capacity in run rate terms at the end of this year will be around 250 gigawatts capacity. This is really a lot. And this could cope with the increase in demand. We are expecting 160 next year. What could happen? Well, if this gets somehow delayed and demand remains very, very strong, even above the 160, we will remain in an over demand situation, and it will be really a seller's market as it is now. It really depends on some external factors. There is this policy of feed-in tariff in China that really changed everything, because China still accounts for around 40% of global demand, which is really a lot. And this is what has been affecting the market in the past. And this can change very, very quickly. This is that we have learned from the past, that a seller's market becomes a buyer's market in a matter of 2 or 3 weeks. And we have seen this so many times in the last 12, 13 years. These are our expectations. We are quite confident that the price of modules will go down, especially after Chinese New Year in February next year. But prices will remain high during the remaining the rest of this year, and even shipments very early next year. And logistics, well, we don't think it's sustainable. I mean, paying like 8,000, 9,000 euros for a 40-foot container is really unsustainable. But whether we'll go back to previous levels or we remain in the middle for a while, but this is really unsustainable. And this is our view, and we expect that logistics costs will go back to more reasonable levels, if not to pre-COVID. And trackers, cables, it's more related to prices of commodities, steel, copper, aluminium. Well, we witnessed record low post-COVID prices, and they're very high now in the recovery. I think it will go back to normal sometime at the end of next year. This is definitely our expectation. Steel PV cost will remain, even if it remains at the current levels, is still the most competitive energy in most of the countries of the world right now. So we really don't see a reduction in demand in the market. How to your second question, I already treated this in my answer to Fernando's question. It's true that in advanced negotiations, that some of the negotiations we have in Spain, the price was close 4 or 5 months ago, where we were considering lower CapEx prices. I think it's difficult to change that. And if it would be the other way around, we would be very happy if the off-taker was now taking this opportunity to reduce the price, but we can make some adjustments, and this is what we are negotiating right now, particularly on the sponsor of merchant, that we are now happier with higher merchant sponsor than before. And you mentioned that whether there will be opportunities in the auction where we didn't participate. I think it's quite challenging now, a price below 30. If you have to build this project in the second semester or early next year, there are some projects in the market already. And honestly, we are not really willing to bid for those projects because we believe that we can grab and we can get a lot of more value from the PPA, from private bilateral PPAs. So we are not going for that, but there are some projects already in the market from auction. This is for sure. So Jorge, any more clarifications? I think we might have.
Okay, let's move to Jose Ruiz. Thank you, Jorge. Jose Ruiz from Barclays.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. I have only two. First of all, I'm seeing that in the quarter there was a slight acceleration of corporate costs compared to first quarter last year. If you could give us a little bit of a expected evolution over the year, corporate costs. The second one is regarding the 1st of July. You mentioned a little bit, but could you expand a little bit your answer? Are you expecting a big increase after the 1st of July of pipeline in Spain as early development, or are you going to put more stress on pipeline outside Spain, European one? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I got completely your second question, but it wasn't very clear in the first question. It was about the Cooper cost.
Corporate costs?
Corporate or?
Corporate, yes.
Yeah, corporate cost.
Okay.
They accelerated a little bit in the first quarter. I was wondering if you could guide us for the rest of the year.
Okay. Okay, great. So going to the first question, right? And I don't know, maybe Daniel, you can help me with this, but we are on track. We keep increasing our corporate our OPEX cost every quarter since we have larger pipeline, so we need to increase our teams of development, EPC teams, services division, and also our corporate general divisions, right? And this is something that we might now somehow accelerate after the capital increase in the next quarters, right? And I believe it's quite important for the growth of the company. We need to make very, very sure we have no bottlenecks in terms of talent, and this is something, one of the big constraints now in the industry, and the talent retention, and to make sure we recruit the best people in the market. So maybe Daniel, you want to add any more ideas on this?
Yeah, well, I assume that the increase in corporate cost will be in line with the increase that we have had year on year this quarter. As David said, it is really important to attract talent. And last year, it was an special one in the way that we haven't had any travel cost. And that created a lower corporate structure that we expect in the second half of the year to grow as well.
And about the second question is a particular question about Spain, about this first of July is really a date now, and it's really we are happy with our pipeline in Spain. It's about 1.5 gigawatts. We feel comfortable. It really is enough. for our targets for 2022-2023, even for our future targets of 2024. But yes, we are looking at opportunities. There will be some opportunities in the grid. Let's keep in mind that many of the existing projects are having problems. It's not our case, but some projects are having big constraints concerning environmental permits, and they will not really make it all the way to. So the real pipeline that you have in Spain, the workable pipeline, the buildable pipeline, is, in our opinion, is much lower than this figure of 100 gigawatts, even 80, 60. And that's the reason why the permits, the price of permits of ready-to-build projects this year or even early next year remains at record high levels, right? So I think there will be some opportunities from 1st of July. We're looking also at a strategy in distribution lines, like the one we have in Colombia and in Chile and now in Italy, where we are targeting at smaller plants and in distribution, but those projects are faster to develop and we can make clusters to approach the PPA and the project financing. So still, the majority of our new pipeline will not come from Spain, will definitely come from other European markets in PV, because we really want to diversify.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jose. I think we have just 5 minutes and two more analysts. Fernando Lafuente from Alantra. You can go ahead.
Thank you so much, and good morning to everyone. Two quick questions, please. The first one, David, on your comments on merchant PPAs. I was wondering, what are the differences today that you find if you tend to finance a project fully merchant with the banks? Is it a possibility that you get this extra price short-term in exchange for, I guess, a higher level of equity in the project, and then to make a PPA in year 2, 3, 4? This is something that you could consider at some point. And the second one, it's on permitting in Spain. I'm hearing other players saying that there's been kind of a bottleneck these days in terms of permitting the administration, with the civil servants still working from home. And how do you see your specific case? Are you finding any kind of delays or any trouble in your permittings? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fernando. About your first question, The project financing is changing also as this industry, everything changes so quickly, and the banks are now again quite open. At one point last year, only some local banks, particularly Bankia, Sabadell, were open to full merchant plans, but now you have several international big players open to merchant financing, and the situation is changing quite a lot. And we have many different approaches right now. And we have the example of our plant Belinchón, which is coming up right after Escuderos. It's 150 megawatts. And we might mandate the bank even before we have a binding agreement for the PPA. And this is because we can have, you can have a term sheet for full merchant, and you can have some upside depending on the final PPA that you sign. And this is really a possibility that we didn't have before. And also, as you mentioned, it's also a possibility. We can, close the PPA, close the financing full merchant. This is what we did in Chile for our 100 megawatts, and then sign the PPAs later, which is what we're doing now. And that strategy, we already followed that strategy in Chile, and we might follow this strategy at one point in Spain. Still is not really on the table. I mean, for our next projects, it will be more traditional. Okay, we have the PPA with project finance. What we might do is reduce the size of the contracted energy to levels of maybe 70%, 65%. And before, and our project we are now concluding in Escuderos is more 85-90% contracted. So it's a very dynamic situation, and it's really, really interesting right now, and you have so many opportunities. Concerning your question about permitting in Spain, it's really an issue. I mean, when we came back to Spain back in 2016, it's already 5 years, and we were developing. We started to develop large plants. We wouldn't have expected that it would take 4 or 5 years until reaching the ready to build. Yeah. We made it in 3 years and a half for Escuderos, but the rest of the plants is four years and a half. And in most of the nodes where we are, our plants will be the first one connected. This is the case of Escuderos, and it will be the case of Belinchón. So it's really taken much longer than expected. And the administrations at the autonomical level are not really prepare. Some of them are reinforcing their teams. It's the case of Castilla-La Mancha. Things are running more smoothly. It also depends on every province, right? And province by province, the situation is different. There was a big bottleneck in Cuenca, we know very well, but now they have reinforced the team. They have 3-4 public servants now, and it's running more smoothly. But it's really true that the permitting still remains an issue, and it's not going as fast as it would be desirable.
David, just a follow up. Sorry, if I may, a quick one. Sure. What levels of in case you ask banks for a term sheet fully merchant, what levels of equity they require you to invest in the project?
It's not really a simple question. It's just keep in mind that for integrated players like us, where mm-hmm. we have our cost of per megawatt, our capex per megawatt is much lower if you compare to other players or funds that are buying permits in the market, are paying 150,000 euros per megawatt in the market. So they have much higher capex cost. And their ratios are much worse than ours. If they go for full merchant, they might only get 55%. They have to put down maybe 45% of the equity. We can go to merchant financing and still reach 70% levels of senior debt. And we can always consider also some MES tranche that will increase the total leverage to 80, even 85%, even in merchant, right? But we really want to find the right level of leverage per project, and it's always a case by case, right? And it's something that we have to analyze with consultants, with the banks. So we have to agree on the right point. And right now in Spain, we are more considering between 60, 65, 70% PPA and the rest merchant. But going full merchant, it's a possibility, right? It's a strategy that would make sense right now, yeah.
Great, thank you so much.
Thank you, Fernando. I think that's all, because the other analyst has already answered his question. So thank you very much to everyone for assisting to this presentation. If you have any more questions, you can always contact me, and we will be very glad to answer you by email.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.